Welcome to Trained, a podcast exploring the cutting edge of holistic fitness. As you might have noticed, I'm not Ryan Flaherty, the man, the myth, the Nike senior director of performance. He's off on paternity leave, waking up every couple hours, taking some swaddling shifts, finally putting that endurance training to work. My name is Jacqueline Beyer, but most people call me Jack. For the last few years, I've been helping to lead the charge on wellness and fitness at Nike, heading up our coaching articles, videos, and yep, even this podcast. I've been the fitness director at Shape, the fitness editor at Self, and I'm still a fitness jack of all trades. I've got certifications in personal training, group fitness, nutrition, and behavior change. When Ryan went on leave, he asked if I could step in, do my thing, and keep the mic warm. You know.
Call up the world's leading experts and athletes to talk about mindset, movement, nutrition, recovery, and sleep.
So today, I'll be strutting my stuff with a London dance instructor, choreographer, and Nike trainer who's helping to change the way we think about movement.
For me, dance is the movement that brings out something inside of you. It's the thing that you did when you were a kid when you just put music on. You don't even know what it is, you don't care, you just hear the music and you feel the energy of what it does, and your body and your brain come together naturally and they make your body just do things. Dance is one of those things that everybody can do.
That's At Your Beat studio founder Joelle DeFontaine, talking about how we can use dance to clear away anxiety, connect with our bodies, and just enjoy being alive. And according to Joelle, we can do all of that in our living rooms, wearing socks and sweats, if that's how we want to get down. Joelle also believes that dance can make us healthier, that it can give us the strength, agility, and confidence we need to thrive. Over the last year, he's seen that power firsthand as he's led a growing global troop of students through daily virtual workouts that never feel quite like work. And he always lets a little joy into his students' bubbles. He's seen this community come together more closely than ever, never mind what continent they're on. Today, we're talking to Joelle about his method, his muscles, and his mission. That's to diversify fitness, racially, socially, and economically. Because he believes dance, by its nature, isn't something that should be kept in a gated fitness community. You don't need equipment. You don't even need a choreographer. Like he said at the top, dance is for everyone. I want to make sure that I don't butcher your name. Can you just say your first and last name for me?
It's Jesus. No, I'm joking. It's Joelle.
I was going to say, I'm so glad I had something else written down.
It's Joelle DeFontaine.
Perfect. And do you like to go by Joelle?
Funniest thing is that I say Joel all the time to people.
So I've heard you say that.
Exactly. You were like, why are you lying? That's not what you say your name is. So I say Joel because where I grew up, that's how everyone kind of talks and it's just quicker. But it's actually Joelle. It's actually really spelled J-O-E-L, but people would say Joel as well because I say it like that. And then I'm like, no, it's Joelle. So I put L-E at the end. So people start saying Joelle now. But then now people say Joelle, which I find really weird. I'm like, why would that be a name?
I mean, anything can be a name these days.
I know, true.
Well, welcome to the show. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while. Thank you so much for being here. My name's Jacqueline. I am stepping in for Ryan, who normally hosts this show, but he is on paternity leave with his second baby right now.
So cute.
Looks like you're home.
Yeah, I'm home here in London. My flat in Kennington. It's cold here. It's snowing.
And you're in a tank top and shorts, which makes sense.
It's quite thirsty, actually, if we just be real.
I mean, if you're doing it for yourself, then it's great.
I'm thirsting for me, basically.
So I would love if you could, in one quick line, tell me what your title is.
I am a Nike trainer, a dancer and choreographer and movement coach. But I also say I'm like a justice warrior, loudmouth, straightforward shooter.
So I want to talk about dancing. Was there a moment that you were like, I'm hooked, this is it?
I was a really expressive child. It completely stopped when I was a child, as you can tell. No, it didn't. And I was very animated. And so I think I always liked dance anyway and just performance. But then when I started going out, I went to the gay clubs and I didn't want to dance in front of people. So I would just be like, like not doing anything. I didn't know anyone either. I went on my own when I first ever started to go out because I just didn't know anybody. And then I was dancing there and then these people were like, oh, you should come and join dance here at the club. We're looking for dancers. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, cool. And I started to just go. I'm very much a person that just does stuff. If someone says, you should do this, I'm like, let me try it. I'm fine with being a beginner at something. I don't care because I'm not planning on staying to be a beginner. And so I started dancing at the nightclub and was with these guys who become my friends now, who work with me now as well. And I didn't really know what I was doing half the time, but I was like, this is fun. When I look back at the videos now, I'm like, I got on that stage and thought I was living my best life whilst everyone else was probably living their worst watching me, but I didn't care. And so an agent saw us at the club and signed us to be on the agency. And that's when I was like, oh my God, I'm like a dancer now. Like, I love it. I get to express myself and get paid for it. That's when I actually loved dance the most, when I started to go to the gay clubs and was expressing myself more there.
I love hearing stories like that, because I think it tells people that you don't have to do something from a very young age to be good at it and for it to become your passion and your life. And so you picking it up a little bit later and doing what you're doing now and being as good as you are now, I think can tell people that it's okay to try new stuff whenever.
100%. I personally don't understand the feeling of not doing something because you haven't done it from an early age. I didn't have opportunities as a kid, so I would have never done anything. I always feel like you should try anything. And also, to get to a level that you're happy with, you don't have to get to a level of, I want to be dancing on the stage with Beyonce. If you just want to get good, or you just want to get rhythm, you don't want to be doing dad dancing or something, then learn so that you're not dad dancing. And then that's your stage that you're at now. Then you're like, now I want to move from dad dancer to kind of like a TikTok dancer. Okay, so get from there to start learning the TikTok dancing. Like, take steps. Being rubbish is just one destination. It's not the final one, I always say.
So one of the things that we want to do at Nike is to redefine the way people think about sport. So it's not just basketball, football, track and field, all the stuff that you see at the Olympics. Mm. It's training, it's yoga, it's dance, it's movement, period. With that in mind, how do you define dance and how do you want people to think of it?
For me, dance is the movement that brings out something inside of you. It's the thing that you did when you were a kid, when you just put music on. You don't even know what it is. You don't care. You just hear the music and you feel the energy of what it does. And your body and your brain come together naturally and they make your body just do things. Dance is one of those things that everybody can do. Everybody can learn to pick up choreography and learn to just enjoy their life and express themselves. It's like how they say yoga and mobility stuff. Everybody should do it. I think dance is going to help with your body and your mind. There's so many elements to it that you just don't get in anything else. And that's what we've seen over the whole lockdown period, why everyone's drawn to go and do dance now. And everyone's going crazy doing TikTok and dance because they're getting that nostalgic feeling that they remember making up routines with their friends when they were kids, or dancing with their friends, or watching their sister dance with her friends, or watching their brother dance. When you just say movement, for me, it makes it, oh, okay, I can do that. I can move. Everybody can move. I could be in a wheelchair. I can still move. You know what I mean? It's not anyone's thing to take away from you. So that's what dance is to me. Obviously, as you can tell, I have nothing to say about dance.
Yeah.
And I'm not passionate about it at all.
I mean, I love the way you put it, because I think you've removed so many barriers there. It's something that so many people can overthink, but it's like you just move and your body knows what to do, so let it happen. Mm. What's your day-to-day like?
I don't really ever feel like I have a day-to-day. I feel like I have one day that just happens to go 7 days a week. And I get up usually not before 11, if I'm honest. I used to get up really, really early before, and I used to work so many hours that I'm like, I'm not doing anything before 11 o'clock now, because I just don't function, because I go to bed really late. I usually get 4 hours sleep a day and it's bad, but I think I've got like too much energy. So I get up at 11 and I start to check all emails from the company, check to see that everything's sorted from the day before. And I've created in my flat a studio, just dance around is like my kind of fitness as well.
You can sustain that on 4 hours of sleep a night.
It's weird. I'm more awake when it's nighttime than in the day. In the daytime, I just do the work. And in the nighttime, I'm doing the me work, the stuff that feeds my creative and existence.
It sounds like you found a schedule that works for you, but I think a lot of that is probably just because you're so passionate about what you're doing. Like, you just want to keep doing it. You don't want to, I don't want to say like waste your time sleeping, because at Nike, we talk a lot about how sleep is so important. It makes all this stuff that you're doing while you're awake, it makes it more effective and it's a huge part of your health. When did you know that you wanted to teach?
I went to Slovakia to do some shows and it was great. And then when we were there, we had to teach these kids and they were loving it so much. And I was like, oh my God, this is so nice that they don't even know who I am. They have no idea. I look like a unicorn coming in the room because I had like bloody blue hair, all these tattoos. I was wearing like a crop top or something like that. I know they've never seen a creature like that walk through the room. So I was like coming in like that. And then they still embraced and I was like, I love this. And so then when I came back, they asked me to teach at the school there for like 6 months. And I was like, okay, cool. So I left London and then just went there for 6 months. I had a job and everything, but I was like, I can get a job anytime, but this is like an experience. And so then I went there and I taught for 6 months and I taught so many classes. They don't know what I'm saying. I'm really London. Like, my accent is really, really like fast. People don't even know what I'm saying sometimes. And they didn't care. All I learned was like how to say like 5, 6, 7, 8 and like, yes, get it, bitch, or whatever. I learned these words and I loved it. I still could communicate the routine and people were getting it. And so then when I come back, I write on a piece of paper, I am going to be teaching dance now as a job. That's going to be my job. And I put it in the drawer over there in the kitchen. I just started taking opportunities that came that represented what I wrote on the paper. So I quit all my jobs. And then I was like, I'll be broke for 2 years. It's fine. Who cares? At least I'll be doing what I love. You know, I don't need loads of money.
That's amazing. So dance is your number one. Are you into any other styles of working out or movement or teaching?
I love dance cardio stuff as well. I like weight training now, strength training and HIIT. I like it because I've got a competitive mind with myself. I just like to push myself and in that sense to be like, let's see how much I can do. I'm like, if I feel tired, I'm tired. I'm not going to be like, shark attack. I'm like, no sharks today, babes. I want to enjoy it. I don't feel like fitness needs to be something that I should feel like punish myself. Why should I do that? I want to feel good in both ends, the body and the mind. I don't want my mind to come out being like, oh, I failed. I was almost at the end and I didn't make it. No, I'm like, I wasn't supposed to do the end today. I'll do it tomorrow. That's how my mind is.
Well, that's great. You figured out what keeps you coming back for more.
Yeah.
Some people do respond to that drill sergeant mentality and that's what they need. But if you don't, then it's great to figure out how you talk yourself into coming back for more every day. So the HIIT, the cardio, do those things work their way into how you teach your dance classes?
Yeah. In fact, I actually created a class that incorporates HIIT and dance and everything all together. It's called AYB Body Party because the party side is like the dance side, the body side is all the fitness side. And then we just put it all together and it's completely different every single class. So there's structure, but I call it chaotic structure because I don't want anyone to know what's going to happen. I don't want them to actually know every single thing. And I want everyone to come in unaware almost of what's going to happen. We call it like HIIT, high intensity interval dance, because it's these sections that you do lots of and then you go out and then you'll do shoulders and you'll do some burpees, but dance burpees, and then you'll do squats, but in a dance way. So everything is incorporating HIIT training, but you just don't know. I've just masked it up with smoke and mirrors to make you think that this is just a dance class. And I'm like, but it's not. I'm a Gemini, so I'm never just going to give you everything right up. Yeah.
And just so everybody who's listening is clear on AYB, that is At Your Beat. It's your dance studio that you founded, correct?
Yeah. At Your Beat Dance Studio. It's the best space ever. Obviously, I'm going to say that, but it also is just the best space ever. It's like a dance and fitness studio, which is geared around growth and diversifying fitness. I started it like 4.5 years ago now.
You might not know this, but I dropped into your class last Monday.
Did you?
Yeah, I was all stealth. I was like, I'm going to do investigative journalist style.
Oh my God, I love it.
Well, I kept my camera off because right in the beginning, you were like, I'm going to be recording this. And I was like, oh, hell no.
No, but I mean, when I say recording this, it's recording just me.
Oh my God. Well, it's funny. I would say I picked up about 40% of the choreography, and that might be generous. And that is nothing. Like, you were a wonderful teacher.
But you enjoyed it, right?
That's what I was going to say. I might have picked up like 40% of the choreography, but I promise you it was seriously 100% fun. I was laughing. I was smiling the whole time. And I do CrossFit regularly. And I can tell you, I'm not laughing. I'm not smiling in most of those workouts. Yeah. So it was a really fun, different experience for me.
We did pink, I think, didn't we? We did like most girls.
Yes, it was most girls,
Oh yeah, that was a good one. This time now is the time to start learning stuff like this because you can go on Zoom with your camera off and just learn in your own space, in your own head, and no one can see you. And then when you feel good and you press the button to go on camera, imagine what that feels like. That's like literally like, oh my God, I feel good enough to go on camera now. And I'm choosing that choice for me. I'm not being asked to get up and dance in front of people. I'm just making a choice myself. And I like to get that point across at the end of the classes to people. And then I go and I get into my bed and my coffin and I lie down and I die for the day. And you won't see me till 11 o'clock the next day.
We won't see you for 4 more hours.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how much work goes into being a group fitness instructor. I taught spinning for 13 years. I haven't done it since I moved to Portland, but before this I was in New York City and I taught at a couple different studios, up to 6 classes a week. I had a full-time job. I would train a client twice a week after work too. And I would put in about 3 to 4 hours to create a single playlist. Like I wanted to make sure that I was finding interesting music, that I was taxing different energy systems, that I was creating a fun ride, but that also got people out of their comfort zone. And on top of that, I think you also have to perform in a way. You have to keep up the energy for up to like 60 or so people at a time. And there's people that have been your regular that have been coming forever that want a consistent experience. And then there's people who are coming to you for the first time ever, and you have to be there for them simultaneously. So how much prep and effort do you put into a single class? And do you feel a responsibility to show up a certain way when you teach?
Yeah. You need to be switched on. From before you're even in the studio, you have to be switched on. You can't come just be like, I'll just wing it, you know? Yeah, like it's cool, because then something will happen in that class that will turn the whole class around, yeah, and be like, it's wrong. So for me, I'm quite prepared in terms of like, I pick my song and I just listen to that song all week long, and my neighbors are annoyed. I'm annoyed with myself listening to that song so much, but I have to hear everything of it so then I can create something really, really easily. But then also I need to know it so that I can edit it if during the class there's something that people can't do. The same like when you're doing the spinning, you'll need to know those songs 100%. So if you feel like, okay, this is struggling for people, I need to change the tempo and create something new on the spot that they're going to do instead that's going to let them cool down so then they can finish the song.
Yeah, you got to read the room.
So I think group fitness classes are like the hardest things to do. And when you get really good at them, they become second nature for you to do. I always have to try to think of song choices that are going to weave people in and out and take them on a journey. Even yesterday, I had my shoulder dislocated or whatever, and I went and taught. No one knew. And then after I was like, haha, you know, I had a dislocated shoulder that night before. That's why. And then they were like, oh my God, you had no idea. And I'm like, yes, because that's how we need to be. We need to make sure that you're paying me. This is my job. So I should always be able to put it out. It's not easy, but I think it's really rewarding after, because you get so many people, and it's spreading that joy to that many people at one time is the best feeling.
After the break, Joelle talks about the emotional benefits of dance. He gets real on what we can all do to make fitness more inclusive, and gives us a peek into the future.
How do great athletes improve their mindsets? For starters, they listen to great coaches. Now everybody, pro or no, can learn from the best with our new advice column, Ask the Coach. Write in with a question about how to work through a mental block in sport or fitness, how to get along with teammates, even how to keep your mind in the game when you're dealing with grief, jealousy, or anxiety. If your question is chosen, an award-winning coach will answer it in the column. Even if your letter isn't chosen, you'll still find some great advice in there for sport and life. Look for the column at nike.com/journal/coaching and email your question to askthecoach@nike.com. Again, that's askthecoach@nike.com.
I want to spend some time talking about the mental side of dance. It has a reputation for being very healing when it comes to mental health. How has dance affected your mental health personally?
Dance for me, mental health wise, it's the best, because it's the time that nobody can tell you that you're doing it wrong. And so you just put on your favorite music, your favorite song, and just go into a space and do anything. If you go into a space and you turn the music on and you pick your song that reminds you of a time when you felt really good, or just a song that doesn't necessarily even make you feel really good, but you want to express the emotions of feeling not great, because I also feel like that's important as well. Both sides, the yin and the yang, release something out of you in dance. And it helped me a lot, because it put me on a path of just being like, oh, I'm fine the way I am. I don't care about what anyone thinks, because I just go and I dance and it makes me feel great. And I'm literally just going to put that in every single aspect of my life now and be that person that I was in my house when I'm dancing around to Whitney Houston. I want to dance with somebody. I want to dance with somebody outside in the street as well. And that's why I always say in class, you can leave Miss Inhibition at the door. It's fine, and you'll come into the class and you'll dance around and she'll be waiting for you on your way out, and usually you'll take her with you and you'll be like, come on, let's go back to where we were. But eventually she won't be there no more, and she won't be waiting for you, and you'll walk out the studio with the same energy, and then down the street onto the tube, go home, get into bed, sleep. That whole energy is immersed in you. You'll wake up with that same energy and you'll go on and you'll carry on the day. That's what it does for me.
That brings me to my next question, because and I realize I just met you about an hour ago, but you seem like a very confident person. Granted, you have a cool name, a great accent, you've got a cool look, the charisma, the muscles, the work that my team and that Ryan does at Nike. We talk to a lot of psychologists and mental health experts. And One of the things we learn is that confidence is not something that you are born with. It is something that you have to develop over time. And you develop that through, of course, positive experiences, but also failures and how you react to failures and knowing that you can come back from things and that you can build resiliency. So I guess that brings me to, you could call it like a chicken and egg question for you. Does dance help you develop confidence, or does confidence that you've had from other areas help you dance?
It's interesting, yeah, because I feel like it's such a good question.
Thank you.
I feel like dance helps you tap into a level of confidence that you have. Everybody has a level of confidence, even if it's like, oh my God, I'm really good at washing up clothes. That is something that you're good at, yeah? When you incorporate dance, I think it helps you release that part of what you are confident in into the dance. I always say to people, what are you really good at, yeah? When you start dancing, imagine you're doing that thing. If you think like the dance, I feel like I just don't look as confident when I'm dancing. How do you make myself look as confident as you? I say, because I'm not thinking I'm dancing. I'm thinking I'm out and I'm flying around and I'm this anime character and I'm the best in the world and I'm doing martial arts up and down the wall and I'm just so great. And I think that in the things that I'm doing, and then I dance, and then that's what I'm embodying when I do it. I think it can help release what you have inside of you. And then from that, it can grow even more and more and more and more, because you realize, yes, I just released it. Yeah. The more you keep doing it, the more it becomes, this isn't release. This is just who I am. I'm not releasing something out of me. I'm just turning myself inside out and putting what is inside of me out anyway. Do you know what I mean? So it's like an orange. When you turn the orange inside out, all the peel is gone, but it's still orange inside. It just looks a bit shinier. So that's kind of like what I think happens. My pet peeve is dance spaces or people in general that say that they're going to turn you into something. You're going to get confident. We will do this for you. We will do that for you. It's just tapping into people's insecurities. And I hate the idea of tapping into your insecurities. I want to tap into the things that you are secure about, and then that can be the thing that makes you come in, and then you'll find out all these new things about yourself.
You mentioned earlier that you truly do believe that dance is for everyone. One day you hope it's talked about the way that yoga is, where yoga can benefit every athlete, every sport, every type of movement that people do. Like, I'm a perfectionist, so I'm like, I need to hit every beat of that choreography. And I get so in my head about it, and then I like freeze and I realize I'm not letting myself get as good of a workout as I might otherwise be able to. Or for people who feel like they need to have a base level of rhythm to even go into a dance class. What do you want to tell the skeptics? How do you feel like you can bring them in?
I always say, go to the styles that you like the look of. Yeah. You think, okay, that's the style I want to do. How do I find something that's the base level of that? If you've got no rhythm whatsoever and you've never danced before, do not throw yourself into a dance class straight away that's full of people that know what they're doing. It's going to make you feel insecure, and it's going to make you not want to come back. I went back when I went to my first dance class, and I got one count of eight right, and I filmed it, and I was like, oh my God, I look so sick. I need to look sick the whole way through. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, so how can I be really good? I don't know yet.
But that's amazing for you to focus on the good that you did and what you feel like you did nail versus what you didn't. I think the tendency for people is to zero in on, I didn't do these eight other eight counts, rather than I nailed this one eight count.
Exactly. That's the type of thing that I say to people who are skeptical. I'm like, what are you expecting to do when you go to a dance class for the first time? I always ask them, oh, what was you thinking was going to happen when you came and you weren't great at the thing that you've never done before? And then they're like, yeah, exactly. You're not meant to be great in your first class. You're meant to go and see the level that you are and then push to the level that you want to be. It's not come and be great and leave. But because we see so much of it, the videos that we see online are all edited and make everyone look amazing and everyone looks great. It makes people think that it's done like straight away, but it's like everything. You have to grow at it. And if you've never danced before, I'd say go to dance cardio classes, because you're going to dance, but you're not going to do complex stuff. So you're going to know what to do. You're going to get your stamina up as well. And then you will see why it's beneficial for you, because having that agility is only going to be good for you in the future in anything that you do. But also being able to express yourself is only going to help you in the future in whatever you do, because why would expressing yourself and being expressive be a negative thing to have? And then the endorphins that you get after doing it, and you complete the whole way through, is the best feeling that you're not getting from most other things. You're not getting that feeling of, oh my God, that was so much fun. I want to do it again. And now I know that move now. Can I go back? I'm going to go back and practice. I know I do strength classes, but I don't get home and start practicing the move that I did at that class. So I'm not like getting home and be like, oh my God, that was so much fun. I'm going to do a video of me doing those arse and abs now. But I will do a dance class and get home and practice and put it in front and go over it and thingy, because I feel a level of accomplishment of just completing the class, even if it wasn't to the best that I did, I can go home and practice it and get better at it. And that's what I think skeptics need to realize.
Yeah, I mean, how can anybody say no after hearing all that? Yeah. I want to pivot, to use a dance term, to, I will say, okay, they're going to kill me for getting off track here, but I watched your most recent episode of House of DeFontaine.
Oh my God, did you love it?
The little moment of Phoebe in the background saying, this is brand new information. It's like, I love this guy. I want to talk about your strut classes, which are amazing. In your own words, can you talk me through what a strut beat class is? Because it's one of the classes that you offer at your studio, correct?
Yeah. Strut is just the embodiment of doing something and control and almost powerful, yeah. The strut beat classes are usually in heels, guys, girls, in between, anyone, everyone, but you don't have to be in heels if you don't want to. The style is usually a lot more commercial and expressive and powerful and quite feminine, I would say, but sometimes not. Sometimes we put masculine elements in there as well, mm-hmm. because we love to blur the lines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That class is designed to show off, I say. People feel like they should go to class and be demure and quiet and be a wallflower. Mm-hmm. I say all the time, don't be a wallflower, be a Venus flytrap, yeah? Why do you want to be a wallflower, yeah? When you could just be biting up everything and taking everything that you want, yeah? And then we have a fundamentals one as well, where they teach you the fundamentals of dancing in a heel, the weight distribution, the lines, the shape, walking and how your body should go, how your hips should go. So you can be a complete beginner, never danced in heels before, and you can come there in a stiletto and they will teach you how to do the most basic stuff and then teach you a little short routine that's not too much that incorporates all those things into that routine. So then you can learn and grow. Strut still makes me feel like I'm the boss, yeah? Mm-hmm. That's what the word for me means. And you can be the boss as a woman, a man, anyone. Strut doesn't have a gender. So that's why strut beat for me is like a really cool class.
Well, it goes back to the conversation we were having about confidence.
Mm.
In order to strut, I feel like you have to tap into your confidence.
You have to tap into it. Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned earlier, your studio has a motto of diversifying fitness. Now, you're Black, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you're the first openly gay Nike trainer in the UK. So what does that motto mean for you personally?
It's so important. Diversifying fitness for me is it's not just about having Black people or having gay people or having non-binary people or having this and that. It's about class as well. It's about price. Price is really important if you want to diversify fitness. We can't diversify fitness when the spaces are charging $30 or whatever for a class or this amount, because people can't all afford that. So it means that you're only going to get one type of person that's coming into those classes. And we have to just be honest. It's only going to be white people in those types of classes when they're that amount of money. That's why people are like, this class, I don't feel like I belong here. It will be partly because of the price. It'll be partly because of the demographic of the people in there. It might be the age. It might be location is really part of diversifying fitness as well. If you're only putting bougie spaces in bougie areas with bougie prices, you're going to only have bougie people. People think it's like putting Black people on the covers of stuff. No, that's just putting Black people on the cover of stuff. Putting gay people in the same things. No, that's just putting gay people in the things. That's great, but that's just standard. You shouldn't have to do that to diversify fitness. Fitness doesn't have a color, doesn't have a sexual orientation, and it doesn't have a gender. So those things should be happening anyway. But price and location, those are choices that you can change, you know? So we always make sure that we have the best prices that everybody can get in and make it so that there's a way for people to partake in stuff, even if they've got no money. Having my own business, I'm fortunate enough to be able to be like, right, let's put on this community class. In the space when I had it in New York, I had a community class that was free. And then we would allow the kids to come after school to use the space just to create content and do whatever they wanted to do for free. But if they have the school in that area, these types of things is how you diversify fitness. If you have a space in Manhattan that's a spinning studio, you know, when there's no one using it in the times, what's stopping you from creating a community-based type of thing that's going to diversify what you then put in there? Nothing's stopping you because no one's using the space. So you could just put something there that diversifies what's going on, and that will start to create other people to want to be involved in those spaces, changes the way things look. People feel that they can now go there and they feel like, oh, it represents me as well. And it represents this, it represents that. You can't just be Black History Month Diversify Fitness or Gay Pride Diversify Fitness or Trans Awareness Week Diversifying Fitness. You know, that's not doing anything. That's just jumping on things that people now feel like they have to jump on, or that people are going to cancel them or whatever if they don't do it. So I was like, I'm going to create something that is unapologetically gay and Black, and then everyone will come, will be part of it. I'm not going to mince my words and be like, you know, as a Black-owned business, I'm like, oh, I don't care. You should be supporting us because we're bringing everyone in. Diversifying fitness is really, really important. And I think brands in general and companies should just do it because it's possible, not because it looks good or anything, just because it's possible. And it's just going to tap into a whole new market of people that want to support you and that you can support as well.
You're right. There's so much performative stuff happening now. And I think a lot of that probably does come from a good place. People just don't know that there's more that can and should be done. The way you talk about this, it's obvious that there is a level of responsibility on business owners and trainers. Yeah. What about people taking classes? Is there anything students can do to make sure that they're contributing to this diversification?
You're naturally drawn to people that are like you, yeah? So you're going to be around people that look like you and that feel more comfortable with those people. That's something that you need to address. Why do you feel just more comfortable with people that look like you or that are like you? For me, I don't get it because nobody's like me, so I'm never going to find anyone that's like me. So I just go to everyone. Everyone is my friend. I want to talk to everyone. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you do. This is what we're doing now. We're talking and this is all that matters, yeah? So I always say to people, make those friendships. In the classes, they film a lot and dance with people a lot. And so I always say, take your sister's camera and that's the person who's going to film you and you're going to film her. So you don't have to swap. Take that person's camera and then they're like, okay. And then they drum up friendships like that because then they watch themselves on their videos with someone else who is a completely different shape to them, age, color, whatever. And then that creates kind of like looking in the mirror and seeing someone that doesn't look like you, but you're the same. When you see that someone's doing something, support them, even if they're not your group of friends. Mm-hmm. We try to eradicate cliques and things because it can happen pretty easy. I find it so weird that it happens in the fitness world, clicky like bro culture and all this stuff. And yeah, I'm like, why? I don't get it, but it happens. And I try to make sure that the members call it out and remove themselves from anything like that and be the place where when you came, someone said hello to you, be the person that you wanted when you came to class. So when you see someone, be like, are you right? Compliment them on something generic. I'm always like to people, oh my God, I love your trainers. So I always say to people, like, when we have our open day things, post it out, let people know that that's going on. Don't just come and be like, I'm going to go and enjoy myself. Show it out to people, let them know that there's stuff going on because your community will want to know. People in your area want to know. Let everybody know what's going on so that more people can experience something that they've never experienced before. Make your circle look completely different to what you look like. And you will have the best circle of your life.
If you could create the future of dance, what would that look like?
So when I create the future of dance, it's going to look like...
I love that.
In terms of like fitness and amateur dancers and people that just want to dance, I would create it so that it's kind of like at school, like when you have things, you have to do something. I would incorporate dance involved in stuff, put it into the curriculum. That's the one thing that people always say when they go out. I wish I could dance. If they had it in school, you could because you know how to do maths. So now if you had one dance class a week where everyone had to learn a dance number and everyone had to be involved and they had to do it and it was part of thing, imagine how once you start, you don't want to do it or you hate it, you're rubbish or whatever, how you would become after when you've done it. And so for me, the future of dance will involve dance in the curriculum of everything. So everybody's learning it and getting to express themselves, because what other lessons in school are you expressing yourself apart from like drama and stuff like that, which they tried to cut away out of everything anyway. So the arts are getting less and less and less and less and less. So dance is a fitness and it's a mental and it's good for your expression. So I feel like having it in would just benefit everyone in the long run.
Okay, so I imagine after listening to this episode, people are going to want to try to take your class. Where can they go to sign up?
So you can go to the website at yourbeat.com. You can always go to my Instagram as well, Joel DeFontaine, or the Instagram is at yourbeatstudio. we have the classes that are on demand at the moment and live that people can actually just get the videos from. If they want to wake up early in the morning and do the live class, they are more than welcome to as well. Some members do that. We've got okay. some people in America that actually just get up and do it. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so early. Wow. We must be really great. But then others are like, I'm going to get the videos. I'll do the on demand. So yeah, you sign up on there. It's like £5 a class. So I think that's like $6 and something in the exchange. Yeah. I only teach Mondays mm-hmm. at the moment, one class a week. We've got loads of work to do and I'm just so busy.
You're busy creating the future of dance.
Exactly. It's not going to do itself. You know, I'm diversifying fitness.
Joelle, we are so lucky to have you as part of the Nike family. Thank you for your time, for sharing your knowledge, your stories, unfiltered. The world needs more of you. I hope we can talk to you again soon.
It was really good. I enjoyed talking with you guys.
It's probably obvious. I love Joelle's philosophy, love his energy, and after that combo, I kind of maybe love Joelle too. He brings the same joy to a video call as he does to a dance class. What I'll come back to the most, I think, is the knowledge that the joy, the improvisation, the art of dance can be applied to any kind of movement. My everyday workout is more CrossFit than choreography, but I'm pretty sure that in the next few weeks, I'll be doing my burpees with a little more style. Talking with Joelle is a reminder of what's really important about movement, being present in your body, being powerful, being yourself. That's the foundation that everything rests on. Well, that's my first episode. For those of you still firmly on Team Flaherty, don't worry. He'll be back in just a few weeks to kick off the new season. And Ryan, if you're out there listening, you know, between feedings and diaper changes, thanks for letting me take your podcast for a spin. If you ever want to go for baby number 3, I got you. This has been Trained. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Trained. Just a reminder, always talk with your doctor before starting any training or nutrition program. The information we provide isn't a substitute for any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And the individual opinions expressed here are just that, opinions.